Blog Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
Welcome to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. Sorry for the delayed start, guys, and we are definitely getting in started on a delayed beginning today. Everybody that was here with me last night, you guys knew we had some horrible defects due to some power outages out here with the impending storm that we had today. Today was no exception. So I want to thank every one of you that are sitting here waiting to speak to me and waiting to listen in on what we're talking about tonight. So thank you all very much for that. So let's get our shout-outs out the way. First of all, thanking the mighty God for another day of being here, another chance to get together and do this thing one more time. I want to thank Barry Mason, formerly of 98.7 KISS FM Radio in New York City, currently with isolradio.com in New York City. You can hear Barry do his thing on Saturdays from 7 to 10 p.m., again on Sundays from 6 to 10 p.m. When he's not doing that, he is gracing you with the best of live R&B entertainment out here in New York, in the best of Brooklyn and Manhattan, and in the best of venues. So, Barry, thank you for the community stuff you're doing, for just being a hell of a person on and off the scenes. To my team, Lady Diamond, Elaine Yeves, Monster Miles, DJ Domeka, Rodney Williams, and, of course, our awesome panelists and great activists out there in Toledo, Ohio, Deacon Betty Williams. Okay, Deke, without you, we can't do very much. So thank you very much for all that you do. And to the rest of you out there that have been helping us get along here, my panelists, Starter Five, I call you. To Al-Tariq Atkins, Stalo Jenkins, Professor Carl Stone Jones, Patrick Irvine, Hakeem Zayed Bey, to my favorite twin sisters out there, Arlene and Darlene, always doing your thing. Thank you all very much for everything that you do on and off the air as well. To my social media supporters, the On the Edge Listeners Lounge, Black Love and Conversations, World Black News and Discussions Group, the Black History Suppressed Group, What About Us, and the Capitalist End Group. You guys have been completely phenomenal in everything that you do, so thank you all very much for everything that you do. And to those of you that have joined us, and I want to thank Mr. Naj, I believe his name was. He was here yesterday evening, and he had added such wonderful insight to last night's conversation, which part two of that is today. So I want to thank you all for that. All right. Before we go to our pre-discussion song break and sponsor break, we are going to speak about what it is tonight is on the table. Last night, we touched on the latest article showcasing a petition that is being sought against Michael Vick. And I think what enrages me most is not that Michael Vick has committed anything new. It's not that he has done anything that deserves attention or anybody's disdain any further, but it's all about the fact that a bunch of very limited-minded people who got problems with race or problems with whatever it is that they feel is unworthy of human existence in Michael Vick, decided that he is still not worthy, hasn't paid his debt to society, despite everything that he has done, of being able to participate in the Jets spring training camp out here in Cortland, New York. Shame on you people. Well, that prompted yesterday's part one discussion of just how much it is that the African-American community needs to be jolted into or shocked into awareness and action to realize that just how little America values their life as humans. Because they will give more worth to a dog's life than they would to that of an African-American person, especially our black men. Yesterday, the title was Man, Wake Up, Wake Up, and that's on the fact that we touched just a little bit on how black men need to fight through this nonsense and really get to back to their original point of being leaders to their communities, to their families, to their households, and just to reconnect with the original legality that they were born into. Tonight, ladies, we are on the hot seat. We are on the hot seat because all of us have a role to play in bringing our people back to its original strong and regal state, what we were born to be. And we are guilty in many ways of emasculating our men. And when I get back from this commercial break and our pre-broadcast song, you definitely will hear what I have to say on the matter. So let's see what we're going to do today. We are going to go out with, you know what? We need some inspiration here. So here's Dave Hollister with Striving, and I'll be back after him and a word from our sponsors. Don't go away. Keep the lock right here.
Yeah. Little song we got called Striving. You gotta keep moving. No matter what the obstacle, no matter what the test, you gotta push through it. He'll help you.
Every day of the week, when I'm sleep, you got his angels watching over me. Everything for me, looking out for me. Now tell me how. Looking for some healing, not a fake feeling. Tell me, do you feel me? I didn't know who to call, no friends at all, till I heard a voice in my head. It said, keep pressing on, and keep striving, striving on.
New York, New York. There's no place like it. You figure that out when you find yourself in a bit of trouble while vacationing or visiting in Florida. And Florida cops are sure as heck not like New York City cops. You're feeling more than put out or simply just confused with it all. But you want justice. You need it to be right, and you want someone who understands where you're coming from. You need Kenneth Foote, attorney at law. Graduate of St. John's University and Florida Stetson University, he'll make sure you're back on track and everything straightened away. Driving violations, personal injury, drug charges, he's here to work with you as well as for you. Leave nothing to chance. K.L. Foote, attorneys at law, 877-90-FOOTE or klfoote.com. Kenneth Foote, the New Yorker to contact in Florida.
The On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. Katie and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help fund their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered, featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship, and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com On the Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
Now, back with more On the Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett, and to those of you that were asking me, that song you heard is entitled Striving, and it's by the artist Dave Hollister. Okay, tonight, everybody, we are going to be discussing the subject, Black Woman, Wake Up. And this is because we have been speaking in drones about all of the things that we need to do as a black community, pretty much because we are the most attacked race in the world, more than likely because those on the outside know what it is we're capable of, and should we ever get to the point of connecting with ourselves and realizing it for ourselves, what a hell of a race we will be, how powerful we will be. Now, we have spoken on several things, on the way our youth is going and why that happened. But we also spoke on a very important subject regarding the very foundation of what it is we need to look for to help start restoring our own unification is the black relationship. And one of the things that tends to happen is somewhere down the line, one of our most valued institutions from our ancestors right down was the family, the structure of the family. And one of the main things that the structure of the family held was that our men led their families, they protected their families, they provided for their families. What happened was our women, our moms, held down the fort at home, usually when the dads went out to work. Now, let's get something very straight here, ladies and gentlemen. You men that are out there probably waiting to hear a woman bashing session, that's not what today's about. Yes, I'm definitely going to be putting out the things that it is that we are failing to do as women, but it's all in with the intention of us becoming aware of what it is we need to do to accept our responsibility in certain things. And tomorrow is, on Friday, part two of this, is your turn. So whatever it is that you're laughing and joking with today, it'll be the women's turn on Friday. But today, ladies, we spoke a little bit yesterday about how it is that our men need to take their rightful place back beyond all of this oppression, all of this aggression from outsiders to us, all of everything that they are trying to do to do everything they are possibly able to do to eliminate and reduce our men from the role they were born to be, and that is to be regal leaders. Our men were born to lead. Black men are the most resourceful, resilient, able-bodied people that there are on the face of this earth. They are kings. They are wonderful and powerful. And when all of these things that they have been able to put together that made them be exactly who they were and what it is that they are designed to be were taken away. Let's talk about budget cuts. Let's talk about the fact that they will try to shoot our black men down unarmed in every way possible. They're doing anything they can to pad these penalties on some of the most little minimal of crimes, while they allow their white counterparts to walk away that have been committing horrible crimes on a bigger degree against humanity. I brought up Michael Vick yesterday as the catalyst article for today because of the fact that Michael Vick in 2007 fought dogs for money. Actually, nobody proved that Michael Vick was physically involved with any of it. They just proved he funded the situation. Dogs died in the activity, okay? As much as that's a very horrible thing, and I don't want anybody to believe that I don't advocate for animals. I think it's a horrible thing to do for profit or otherwise. But Michael Vick paid his debt to society and then some. If this punishment to crime ratio were a bank, and this was a checks and balances, I would believe that right now Michael Vick has some credit in his favor for having overpaid society. Michael Vick went to jail. He served actual federal time for this crime. He got out and had to keep his head down, and he walked all nice and upright and obediently. He didn't get his nose dirty. He didn't get his hands dirty. He didn't have a boo peep. In the media since that conviction and since his release. But yet, every single time another black athlete got into any type of scandal, they referred to Michael Vick as an association. Every single time they brought up something else, they referred back to Michael Vick. They've never allowed Michael Vick to live down in society. And now, here comes a whole other bunch of people 6 years later. 6 years after his release, 6 years after he's paid his debt, 6 years after he decided, I'm going to hang my head, I'm not going to fight the world, I'm not going to try to do anything, I'm not going to even stand up for myself. He's probably afraid to death to take his kids to the zoo to even see an animal. And yet and still, he's signed up with a new team who's decided to accept him for who he is, on his talents, not on his crimes, and decided, you're part of us now. And here come some people on the outside from God knows where that are still trying to peg this man on that conviction and serve time and say, you don't belong in training camp because we must send the message that this type of behavior will not be accepted. And this is the man that they want to pin all that example given on. Let the man breathe. And to you men that are out there that is busy talking about these women, or if you're black women, about their weaves, their loud mouth, their loud misunderstanding or whatever, yes, all of that may be well and good, but guess what? Before you became athletes, before you became stars, before you became mega icons, before you became one of the three major people that our youth today are idolizing or seeking out to be like, you were using that same black woman with her same big mouth and her same whatever weave that was going on to get you there. Now, that was yesterday's situation, and we'll be readdressed on Friday when it's your part. Tonight, ladies, let's speak about us. We have been the most pressed upon group in America, in the world, to be strong, to have to handle two or more jobs at once, to do the job of two people, partially because our men walked away and mostly because they were told to, mostly because they were pressed upon to do so, mostly because the only way that they would allow us a little bit of peanuts to survive when we were not with the rich corporate job was to give us welfare on the condition that we could tell them we don't know where our baby daddies were. While they were busy trying to find, seek, sort out, and execute if they had to, your man, for every ounce of child support they could get. Now, don't get me wrong, those of you that decided to breed, feed, and jet, whatever happens, you happen. If you have to be told as a grown man and a father to get out there and support your child by a court of law, then you deserve to have whatever happens to you because you had ample time to get out there and go do what you have to do. You know you had a child, stuff nuggies. But to those of you men that are out there, and I've done my segment for you, that are out there busting your butts and doing the work of mommy and daddy and getting kicked in the face anyway, guess what? This doesn't apply to you, and kudos to you. But women, this is tonight's topic. Our men are being reduced to being nothing but animals in the eyes of white America. Our men are being emasculated by having all this, these alternative lifestyles be shoved in their face at all times, being compelled to come forth about things that society would find less than worthy or less than traditional. And guess what? Meanwhile, while when a black man comes out with it, they're ridiculed. They're used as the butt of some puppet show joke. They're not allowed to live it down or repay their debt to society, become reformed, rehabilitated, anything. When their white counterparts come out as gay or as troubled or drunk, a DUI, a rapist, whatever the case is, all of these things are excused. It's celebrated. It's understood. It's forgivable. These men, no matter how good they are, no matter how many suits they dress in, no matter how many ways that they shave their beard and keep it neat and trim, go out there with qualifications, they're being kicked in the face every single way. Now, here comes that, after all of all that, after all of those things that these men are facing in white America, as a black man, a leader, a king by all rights, here comes his woman, the new independent woman. The idea is not for us to be independent women to the point where we don't know how to be a partner to our man. And for those of you men that are out there going, yeah, we're the king, be quiet, shut up. No, that's not what I mean. I mean that we are a resilient. We are your backbone. A good black woman is behind you. Every good man has a great woman behind it. But we women, in the midst of all the pain and the fighting and the struggles and the degradation, sometimes by our own men, the ridicule, the abandoning of our men to other races, the leaving us behind with all the babies, with all the men that we dress up in weeds for, or we do whatever to please, is busy telling us that we look like fools with it. While they take that same thing they call us fools for and go celebrate it with another race, our enemy race sometimes, once we pushed them up and we sacrificed. I understand that, ladies, but guess what? We are not supposed to take the independent woman theory and forget the fact that we still need our men. We are not supposed to forget the fact that our children still need their fathers. We are not supposed to take it to the point of being hard. We're supposed to be tough and strong, not hard and bitter, not to the point where we emasculate our men and wear their pants and reduce them to their only roles in life is to be sperm donors or sex partners because we can't do it for ourselves. The fingers only work so long. How much more do our men need to take to be reduced to sacrifice, to compromise in order for them to be what they are? How many more things are they going to say, oh, well, if everybody else is doing it, then why do I have to do it? How many more ways are we going to give them back to the white man to put them back in chains, rip them up and do whatever? How many more times? Open your mouth and say what you have to say. Be a strong figure to your man, but don't knock him down in the process. Let him know, I don't agree with this because I think it's going to hurt you and this is what's going to happen. But guess what? At the end of it all, let him know I'm saying this because I love you and nobody is bigger in my eyes besides God than you are. Now, we have a panelist. Well, we did have a panelist. I guess they're not coming in this moment. The whole point is our men have had everything taken away from them. Our men have had everything taken away from them. Their respect, their dignity, their right to be, their right to exist, their masculinity. Not because all of them are going out there dressing in skirts, which, by the way, you black icon guys need to get that together. Because every time they go in there with a college degree, corporate America is telling them, very nice, very good, but you know what? The guy next to you, he's a little lighter skinned, looks a little more the part. He's got about 4 years less experience than you, but we can teach him. Every time he walks to the store to go get his baby a can of milk, there's a cop on the end right nowadays waiting to ask him where's his ID, why is it that he's there, what's his business there, and shoot him. Shoot him, incarcerate him, degrade him, emasculate him, break him. Meanwhile, society's telling men in the hole, you can't cry. You can't be raped. You can't be weak. You can't let that man come up to you like that. You're not no punk. You ain't a punk. Are you a punk? And they're taking this confusion and this hurt and this hatred for having to be in a position where they're not supposed to feel. And they're passing it on to their sons or leaving their sons with the idea that's the way it's supposed to be. Because guess what? Baby mama is over there or ex-wife is over there being hard and independent. I don't need no man, or I'll need him. I'll call him on my terms. No, no, said the cat. We need our men, ladies. Stop it. Do we need them to tell us that we're weave wearing shorts? No. Do we need them to tell us that we've got big mouths and that's why they leave us for other people? No. But do we need to tell them every day that they're no good, no something in front of their sons and say, I don't need you, stay away from my son because you ain't talking to me, get away from me, go and do this, you ain't going to see your daughter till I get some money, you ain't doing nothing, you a broke ass, you a this. Do they need that? No. Why? Because they got society telling them that you're nothing but baby makers that are lazy, that are thugs, that you're funny, that the only way you're worth anything is if we can market you in a big movie talking about how many times we beat you down in chains and took your babies and raped your women and called you niggers and did all this stuff. Do we need to be the next bit on top of all of that? Do we need to be the cherry on top of that burden? Society, on a whole, hates our men because they emulate everything society should be. Because even with the brokenness, even with the hard struggles, a black man, when given the right support structure outside of the strangers, will be the best provider for his child, his family, and his queen if she lets him. Men, don't worry because your counterpart is coming on Friday. Those of you cheering in the back, because I can almost hear some of you going saying, amen, amen. Ladies, it's our turn. And you know we do it, too. You know we do it. If we don't bring the structure down for ourselves, if we don't restore our family structure, if we as the adults, the beginning founders of our family, the generation, the plant tree that's coming up, what the hell are we going to tell the people out there who's trying to make sure the black family doesn't exist anymore? We were once a people that had a pride about ourselves. We were. I know all about why that happened, why it's all messed up. Most of it, many of it, a big, big portion of it is everything that has been force-fed to us. We women tend to think that we must be wider, straighter, thinner, and smaller to be accepted. Our men were told and forced into their head that if you want to be successful, you drop Shaniqua, you pick up Marianne. Marianne is busy on her knees going, no, honey, I will serve you and submit. And anything you say is just fine. Yes, sir. Meanwhile, he's hearing blah, 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 that you are nothing, you are nobody, and you got the cleanup woman on the other side of aisle nine waiting to pick up your good man because you have a problem with being sort of submissive or being a partner or being a person that allows him to lead because we don't need no man. Say what this idiot lady said on some young girl said in a video about we're argumentative, we're confrontational. That's a young girl who's not even black and doesn't even understand a ounce of why it is black women are the way we are. But with all that being said, ladies and gentlemen, ladies, emulate, not emasculate your men. Society is already breaking them down on a whole. They are skinning our men alive, literally and otherwise. There's a rash of murders coming up with our men's parts being eviscerated, taken out of their bodies and harvested for whatever purposes they have. Private Lavinia Johnson, a beautiful 20-year-old girl that went to America's army to serve America, was there 6 weeks, raped, burned in the genitals, shot in the back of the head, her teeth were loose, she had a black eye, and they ruled it a suicide. Now you sit there and tell me that us further emasculating our men, breaking down the leaders, our natural kings of our land, is going to help us be any more worthy in the eyes of white America as a person. The least we could do is at least go down fighting in unison, letting the world know that our men means first. Whatever problems we have with our men is between us, and we'll work it out. You don't get the right to say a thing about them. And I'm talking about those men that are actually trying to be who they're supposed to be. The ones that are busting their butts to be by their kids regardless of what their relationship is with their girlfriends, with the baby's mama, with their exes, with their ex-wives. The ones that are out there that will pick up pennies if he has to and work three jobs and won't talk about, oh, it's just a burger job. The one that says, it may be all I have right now, but one day I'm going to save this enough because my son or daughter is going to grow up and do better and have a better opportunity or more choices. They're going to understand that they are supposed to be a proud person who they are, and I'm going to make sure that the first person that they see is me, and this is what they're going to see. Then no matter how hard it got, I didn't pick up a gun to go shoot somebody in the head and steal something that belongs to them. And no matter how much she yells at me, I never called her a whore or a slut or a bitch in front of my kids. Then no matter how many times I wanted to shake her, to shut her up or put the mute button on, I listened to what she had to say and I walked out without striking her. So ladies, what is it that you're going to do? We're going to sit there and go, no, these men are trifling. They come out and they do this and they do that. We know all that, that many of them can, but guess what? What happens to one you have that is being overshadowed by the front page jerks? The ones that took all of that crap, you shelled out, and you know we can shell it out, ladies. You know we can. You know we could go nonstop, we could be Speedy Gonzales, we can be Tasmanian Devil, spin around, 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 and go the hole and make our men get to the point of going, what's the end of the day, though? When you have each other's backs, Taz gets put to bed, and now you have a way where you can sit there and bring that family together. That family stays. Whether you guys are together in a relationship or not, your family structure has been valued and protected. And I see a whole lot of you on the panel, and if any of you have anything to say, do not be afraid. You guys know me. I don't bite. Press 1, because I'm not going to know if you want to talk unless you do that. So I'm going to go to break, and I'll be back in just a short minute. And when we get back, I want all of you to think, what's worth it? You ladies, think about it. If you know you have a good man that's out there that's busting his butt, will give up himself to make sure his child has him, that the home his child is living in means something, means more than your mouth, means more than what people think of him as a man taking your mouth. If you know all of that exists and you still have a problem and you're still walking around trying to get your hair, your nails done so you could pass by and flip it and tell him, I don't need you. You tell me what's more important, the future of your child seeing this, being unified one step closer to beating the oppressors, or is you being an independent woman and showing them you don't need him more important? When I get back from break, I'm going to take our first panelist, whoever that is, good for you for having the guts. I'll be back. Now, we are going to go out with this. Let's see. A classic, Sky, Call Me. Be back in just a bit.
Call me.
Call me.
It's your
You're listening to On the Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett, and that was this classic by Sky, now called the Ladies of Sky. It was called Call Me. Those of you that are in my age group, you can remember rocking to that. Okay, so we're back on tonight's subject, Black Woman, Wake Up. And so we are speaking on a follow-up from yesterday's show where we spoke about Black Men, Wake Up, Wake Up. And this was based on the fact that Michael Vick is back in the news again, not because the man committed any new crimes or raped a child or killed somebody or got into some fraudulent tax thing, but because he committed a crime which he served time for, not just in jail, but in the media, in his career, did everything he was supposed to do, hung his little head, was obedient, was a good little boy to everyone. He even turned his back on his brother, not to the point of saying, get away from me, but publicly support a scandal his brother was involved in on another end of sports. However, being that he's a black man who committed a crime against animals, he's still not allowed to live it down or be reformed or rehabilitated as all of his Caucasian counterparts in his field and other places. There's a panelist, and I'm going to bring them in now to hear what their take is on tonight's situation. So just bear with me a minute. Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air.
Good evening, KD. This is Al Tariq Atkins calling in.
Hey, Al Tariq. I was wondering when you'd be coming in. Well, we are following up from last night's broadcast, and we're speaking on the angle of women and how it is that all of the things we have spoken about in at length in previous segments till now about how it is our race is being gutted, torn apart, divided, everything that you can think of, but especially with our black men. We spoke about it, and Professor Carlton Jones definitely has been in here to give us more of a research and historian and the Aspara type of understanding, you know, integrating our history and with things that are going on even to this day in a more watered-down way. And I feel, spoke about it in the previous segment, that the new birth of independent women are being taken to a different way. Instead of it being to the point where we're emulating our own strength, we're eliminating men or ourselves. And I want to know if you agree with that.
Okay, the last part of what you said we were doing, you said you are what to the men yourself?
That we're pretty much eliminating the role of our black men ourselves with being this super independent woman. We're becoming the masculine and the feminine side of everything because instead of us saying we're independent because we're strong, we've been through it, and we can be good partners for our men, we're pretty much telling them we don't need you either.
Yeah, yeah.
Great.
Yeah. It's gotten to that point, and I could see it progressing from even when I was a teenager, you know, so it's really gotten bad, you know, because when I was a teenager and I used to go to clubs and parties, that's what they had started saying way back then. And that was like, you know, in the 80s. And, you know, the independent women in the something say, you know, hell yeah, and all that stuff like that. And if you don't need no, you know, the N-word and this and that, you know, say hell yeah and all. See, that has started way back. So that word has carried and it's become a part of it's become generational to where it got to the point to where, you know, well, I can get my own this, I can get my own that, and I don't need a guy. But we need each other because this is how we came to life anyway, so how don't we need each other? And the main one saying we don't need each other, and that's so public about it, which is sad, really, is our people for the most part. And I mean, I'll be wondering why do we really think deeply about that? Do you see Indian people? Do you see the West Indian people saying that? Do you see Jamaican people saying that outright the way that we do? You know, I don't need no N-word or the man saying I don't need no D. You know, and I mean, what we need is to get it together. Because the only way to succeed in this life is if we got each other. Because that's what it's going to take to raise the children and everything. If you are at odds, your children are going to be at odds too. And that destroys not only families but communities and nations. If the family is a part, the people are a part. So it begins with us who are grown enough to be in relationships for us to do like how we are supposed to do, and that's uplift one another. If we are to be reflections of one another, then what the hell is wrong with us?
Exactly.
We don't want to reflect the right things of one another when we are put here as help meets and help mates. How the hell is you helping them saying, I don't need you, or vice versa? That ain't no damn help. Excuse my language. That's foolishness. That's self-destruction. How to do better.
Indeed it is. And what, as I said earlier, if you don't need him for help him provide for the family, if you don't need him for money, if you don't need him to go out there and get a job, and you feel you can be mommy and daddy to your boys, and you can go and do whatever, then what exactly, after the white America is telling the black men, justified, get eviscerated, you know what, you're an animal, mow him down, shoot him down, incarcerate him, you know, get him drunk, give him gay culture, give him do whatever, all of these things that it takes to emasculate him, take away his masculinity, to make him be less than what he was born to be or should be, or give him nothing to do, then all it is that we need him for, pretty much, is his penis and his sperm. And if you even say nowadays that you can go to a sperm bank and impregnate yourself, then even that is a role being taken away from you. So then, ladies, what is it that we, in addition to what white America is telling our black men, what are we telling them? And I do want to stress once again, and I am a single mom, so I don't want any of you believing that I'm out there going, all right, what does she know? Well, she's a woman talking this. I'm a woman speaking about what's right, period. I'm for right or wrong. You know, if it's right, it's right. If it's wrong, it's wrong. Okay? I don't have any type of aversions to one side simply because I'm a member of that side. I'm not going to jump on a feminist act if just because I'm a woman. I'm going to listen to what the issue is. I'm going to listen to what the suggested solution is. I'm going to listen to what the cause is. And I'm going to make a determination as to what is a long-term progression for me. What I truly believe is going to be good overall for the community, a long-term return investment. Because that's just the problem. I'm not going to go vote for a leader who's black if all he's talking about is doing something that will hurt my life, or I don't see the country moving forward or becoming unified in any way. So the whole thing is, ladies, we have been through it all. From the age of time, we've been nursing our enemies' babies while being told that we're not allowed to have our own babies. We've been called every type of whore in the book. We've been raped. We've been put against each other. The darker we are, the uglier we are to society, the shorter our hair, the less worthy we were. The bigger our lips, the less attractive we were, the less accepted we were. Then we have our men telling us that we have a right to have our choice of beauty enhancements that we feel is good for us. Well, in turn, we wish it was that. We've been through all that. We have sat there and given up our college lunch money so that the guy we love so much, who dreamed of being a ball player or a business owner one day or a TV personality, we gave up half of our turkey sandwich. And shared our twin-size bed with him when he didn't have a place to go. And we were loud about it sometimes. We were angry about it other times. We took his garbage. We forgave him. We did all of that only for him to get through that door and go pick somebody that was lighter, thinner, and finer hair. And told that all the things he was okay with when he was struggling, broke, and nothing. We were not qualified to walk to that victory line with him because all of those things were now a problem to his new society. While we sat there in pain watching how he sold out what he is and who he came from and put us to the side and our kids to the side so that he can walk right into the trap of somebody that was going to use his talents, and the minute that things went wrong, he was going to be the first one they dropped, pegged, and scapegoated. And guess where he was running right back to when all that failed? We went through all that, so I understand where our hardness comes from, where our bitterness and our anger comes from. The point is, if you don't have that in your face right now, and if at the end of it all you have is a lot of aggravation and screaming and yelling, but you guys learn how to talk it out at the end of the day, if you don't have that person that left you stranded and walked, that didn't leave your babies for to go have babies with somebody who was deemed, quote, unquote, more worthy or better, what the hell do you think you telling him that you don't need him either is going to do for our race, for your kids, for you and that man and for that man? What is it going to do for our fight and our defense against everything that we are seeing and angry about? That is the question. And Al-Tariq, what do you feel we could do differently? What is it as a black man that you feel a black woman could do better? What is it you see now that you feel could be changed?
Oh, man, it's just that with the way things are going on and how you see how what you were saying earlier about this independent thing, from what I can see, because people think that love is just a thing that just dropped down and you're manifesting it, but they got it all wrong because of the fact that if it was that way, the world would be a loving place. And how I see it, the same way that we got educated in hating one another, we have to be educated again to loving one another. Because it's not just going to just come together just because for the fact that it's going to come together. We have to start imparting this to our children. We have to show them the right thing. We have to tell them the way relationships have to be. We can't hold this bitterness because of these past bad relationships. And we have to build one another up, because if we're not building each other up, we're tearing each other down. Those are the only other two ways, those are the only two choices that you really have when it comes to us now. You know,
yes,
we must love one another, because nobody else is going to do it. And as time goes on, people are showing us more hatred as the days go on. So if we don't love, we'll be destroyed because of a lack of it.
Absolutely, absolutely. The two panelists that are coming in, I see you. Just give me a few more seconds. One of the things that I've been seeing is now Michael Dunn. Those of you who don't remember that name or don't know that name, another George Zimmerman per se. Mm-hmm. After all of this took a boy's life, I had the nerve to say he's the damn victim, and that they should kill more blacks to show us how we should be behaving toward them.
Stay in line.
If that's not a hint and a half for your asses out there to realize and let you know exactly what the worth of a black person's life is in America and how it is that if we don't uplift each other, nobody else will, then something is seriously wrong with your perception of certain things, and something needs to be jolted into you for you to get it. I'm not saying take back a bad ex. I'm saying if besides being a bad person in a relationship to you, he's a good father and respects you, do so. I'm saying to those of you that have lost a man and he moved on and got a life and that person is taking good care of your children, and when you have to do something else or you've got to trust them with their dad for the weekend or whatever the case is, if you know that that father is making sure that anybody in his life is going to emulate and support and secure your children as well, what the hell is your problem in making him feel worse than what society is telling him? Two more panelists are coming in. Let me bring them in, please. Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air.
Yes, and William DeLay.
Yes, hello. Hi.
Hello.
Yes, hi. Hang on a minute. There's a panelist behind you. You'll be first up, okay? Hang on. Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air.
Hi, Katie.
Hey, how are you, Darlene?
Yes, baby.
I got it right. Okay. I mix you ladies up. Well, welcome to the show. And William, welcome. And what's your take on tonight's topic?
Well, You know, I heard you say a few things about women can go get the sperm and don't need a man. Well, I'm pretty much old school, and I would never donate my sperm because I want to take care of my own kids. I want to make sure that they're safe, which I have done. And a lot of points that you made about the woman independence, I just want to say to, I guess, the men, you can have your pride, but when it comes to truth, you need to put that down. And I myself, as a black man, I'll say, I need my black woman there to be supportive of me. And, you know, if I had that, that's all I need, you know, and she'll be fine, I will be too. But I also think that a lot of black people, you could say they call it selling out, or I look at it as selling your soul. They selling their soul for things, you know, nice car, nice clothes, and I hate to even bring it up on the radio station. See that on Facebook all the time. It's just foolishness and garbage. But things don't make you happy. It's the person you with that helps you get there. And that's the person that brings the happiness. Them things don't do nothing at all. They're just things. And that's really
that's
what I had to
say. You're absolutely right, William. They come and they go. If there's an earthquake, a volcano, a rainstorm, a tornado, those things are going to go. When you die, all that stuff you sold out for is not going with you.
Exactly. You know, right, but yeah. I really think that also, too. There's nothing new under the sun. And I've been raised by, you know, my family from the South, but I live in New York. But I know that old school raising, the home cooked meals and everything, and people need to get back to that kind of stuff and getting together. And family don't even get together anymore because they so much in the competition with each other. But I don't see the views in if you done been there and you done that, what is the big thing? We all support each other to have a better life, even for you, for your kids, you know. It's all about we just want you to be safe and live a good life. It's not about the competition. And black people seem to be more in competition this day than ever, you know, because I'm about to turn 50, and I remember in the times when you got a new home or house, they welcomed you in, or they had a car, y'all rode around the car, you told them, hey, I'm glad to see you got all of these things. They don't do that nowadays, you know. So that's where I see mainly the biggest problem is things and status and titles, and a lot of titles don't mean anything if you're not doing nothing with it, or you know, as even being a father or a mother, you know, if you're putting that example out for your kids and everything, you are achieving and you're installing values in them. Now you are truly worthy of that title, but just having a title and doing nothing with it, like, oh, happy Father's Day, happy Mother's Day, that's a bunch of garbage. In those days are man-made things. Every day should be Father's Day and Mother's Day. And Valentine's Day, too, you should love. I'd rather have love 364 days of a year than that one day out of the year. So you could take the happy Valentine's Day away. Give me the 364.
Absolutely.
I know that's right.
Absolutely. Darlene, you're up, sweetheart.
Hi, panel. How are you? My take on it, Katie, is that everything begins and ends with us. And the reason why I say that is because we get angry when society stereotypes us and put us all as one. Our thought patterns, our way of life, our home training, everybody was raised in a different manner. However, what still stays the same and people changed it was the integrity, the pride, the respect, and things of that nature. Like, I'm old-fashioned. I love my black men. And I would love to have one in my life. But, you know, it comes with, you know, today's men. Their thought patterns, they have stereotyped women the same. And that's where they made their downfall, because every woman is not a gold digger. Every woman is not a whore. Every woman is not a slut. Every woman is not looking to take a man for a ride. For the most part, there are women still out there looking for true love. And when I say true love, I'm talking about that kind of love that's inseparable. I'm talking about that kind of love that our parents once shared with each other, that they showed us that all things are possible. It's still possible for a man to put his woman on a pedestal just as well as a woman putting her man on a pedestal and feeling like, you know, long as I have him, I'm okay. Just like a man would like to feel, as long as I got her, I'm okay because you got that bond. You know what I'm saying? Once people see a loophole in a relationship, because at one time, our parents wouldn't even argue in front of us. If they had a debate, they respected each other enough to take it in the room. I never heard my mom and my dad argue, curse at each other, call each other names. None of that stuff. Never, ever, ever in my life. You know? And I need to say, like, I was married. My husband passed away, and, like, since then I've had come see, come south, you know. But for the most part, I've had a man tell me that I'm looking for something that was unreachable because I told him that I wanted a man that I didn't have to. When I tell a man to K my A, or if I can tell my man F you, or anything of that nature, that means I'm losing respect for him. I don't want to be able to talk to my man like I would talk to some nigga on the street. Excuse the term, but that's how I look at it. I don't want to hear the stuff that I hear on the street coming out of men's mouth, coming from my man's mouth. Like, you know, there was one time the men didn't even curse in front of us. And even when they were in a group of men, in a group of male settings, if the woman would approach them, the man would be like, yo, man, that's my wife coming, you know, let's curb it. Not today. You hear hook, dick, that, dude, that, it's like they have no curb on their mouth. They have no respect. Like, you know, when a woman is present, it's like it's not acknowledged at all. She becomes like one of the fellas. And then, you know, and then sometimes they wonder why our mouth is so gutter. Because we have to curse men out on a daily basis with a disrespectful behind.
Absolutely.
I want to be that woman. I want to be that gentlewoman. I love wearing stockings with the seam up the back. I love looking pretty. I love being sexy. I love lingerie. I love rose petals and bubble baths and all that quality stuff. But there's a part of me who wants that, and then there's a part of me who's afraid to show that because then I feel like I could be taken advantage of because the men don't look at us in that high quality anymore. I'm on the phone. You can hear the toilet. I'm sorry about that. I have to get rid of my niece. Get out. But anyway, as I was saying, excuse me for the disturbance, but on a serious note, why is everybody coming in my hiding space? I'm on the radio. Let me go in another room. Gotta hide. But anyway, I'm sorry about that. But anyway, what my point is this. It all, like I said, it all begins and ends with us. If we started showing each other that respect for each other that our parents once showed each other, like, that's a start. If a man showed a woman that respect and not stereotype her like every woman is a whore and every woman wants to be used and every woman wants to play, then, you know, because there is some of us who's not out there to do that. There's some of us who want to be in a relationship, in a serious relationship. Not everybody want to just get laid. Not everybody just wants some money. You know, I want more than that. I want a solid man.
Well, I was asking a question, a direct question about the topic, and I want to hear what you have to say as a black woman. Do you believe that the birth of the new independent woman is pretty much emasculating our men and is kind of helping outside America eliminate the male even more?
I didn't hear that last part, Katie.
I said, do you believe that the birth of the new independent woman among us has begun to help the white America pretty much eliminate the role of our black men even more so?
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely, because they are, not only are they marrying the white man, besides that kicking our black men to the curb, not only have their pride been stolen from them, not only have their dignity been taken away from them, not only has the manhood have been totally erased from their genders. You know what I'm saying? Because today's black man, I can't even imagine how it feels to be a black man, more or less a black woman. I know that it's harder to be a black man than it is to be a black woman today. And for them to be totally vamped, I call it vamped. They was just plain vamped. Their integrity, their pride, the jobs, the way of life, you know, the expectation from the woman per se, the man being the breadwinner per se. And even with the man being the breadwinner, let me just say this. Everybody is not going to bring in the same income. So if you're really going to judge a man about how much he brings, if I make more than you, sweetie, if we can put that together and live a glorious life, I'm good with that. It is not that important because there are some things you just cannot buy, and that's happiness, that's your pride, your dignity. Those are things you cannot pay for. So if I had a man who was even going through a small struggle and I saw that I was able to help lift him and bring him to the man that he could be, I would even do that.
Absolutely. I mean, William brought it up very much, that the very people that have some connection or status or some strong representation of us are selling out. And they're selling out, most of it is because there's pressure on them. It's like they're putting the two devils in front of them. Okay? And they feel they're going to pick whichever is the most beneficial for the moment devil. I get that. I still put it down, though, that it comes down to choosing. You're not going to tell me that you're calling your woman a weave-wearing sellout or degrading her now because the ancestors were hung by white people. You're not going to tell me that. You have a choice to make based on what was good or bad about your previous lesson. You can choose to go with it. I get that we're conditioned to believe the worst of ourselves because we're not getting options. I'm speaking in terms of us black women being independent, so independent that we have lost sight on what it means to be independently strong, but to be a team player. Regardless of whether our husbands and I are still together or our men and I are still together, we have children. Can we still be good parents together? Can we still be good civilians to each other? Can we not give the outside people on the fence the power to go, see, we whip you and they whipping you too?
Yeah.
How much more do they need to get taken away to be told that you're not worth a damn thing? We need you to pull our horse wagons and pick our cotton and shut the hell up about it.
Well, you know what, Katie? I'm going to say this and I'm going to shut it down. You know, everybody goes back to that saying that it stems from the home. Let me help somebody and maybe somebody can help me. My mother raised us with standards, pride, dignity, integrity, respect, and all of that good stuff. And we fell off the bandwagon. However, we never lost sight of our pride and our integrity and our this and our that, even though we got caught up. The bottom line, what I'm trying to say is that if something is instilled in you, you might even go off track a little bit, but you will not. You will not go to the deepest end where you sell your soul. That integrity, that pride, that stuff that mom, your mom instilled in you is still in there. To me, if you go that far to sell your soul for a dollar or a dime, like you didn't have that integrity from the beginning. That's just how I feel about it. Because I know I did drugs, I ran the streets, homeless, I did all of that stuff. But I still kept, even after when I got myself back together again, that pride and that integrity and that dignity and all them good qualities that my mother instilled in me resurfaced.
You understand what I'm trying to say? Because we all make bad decisions, we all make mistakes, and we all fall off. It's what you do with that. It's either you want to pick yourself up from that, or you're just going to die into it. But if you're going to die into that type of life, there is no pride, no integrity, no nothing, because drugs will take you to places where you don't even think you would ever go. But if you still have something in you, just something, just enough to pick you up and dust yourself off and get back on the groove, you understand, that pride will return. That dignity will return. That integrity will return. So you never lose that. You never lose that. You only put it on the back burner, but it's not lost. It's just it's just on the shelf somewhere.
I agree.
If you're that type of person, if you're that quality of person, when it's time for you to clean your act up and get yourself together, baby, you will reach back on that shelf and you will take back all of those things that you were missing.
Absolutely. And you know what? I think another part that we tend to forget is that sometimes when you're busy trying to satisfy the instant need, you forget that sometimes you got to sacrifice that instant need for a long term. Now, like I said, black women, we have been up against the fence on more occasions than not, from both the outside world of men and our own men too. But with that being said, it's to learn how to be strong, gain our skills, so that in the event something should happen to the next man in our life, we're not stuck and stranded, having had dependent on them, been dependent on them. It's not for us to eliminate them from the equation. We,
exactly.
No matter how many which ways we dress up in men's suits, no matter how many pants we wear, we will never be able to be men for our boys. We will never be able to truly teach our boys how to be men. I'm a single mother myself, so those of you that say, and that's not true because I've been doing it, I'm his mother and his father. No, you're not.
No, you can't.
No. No matter how many which ways you do it, you cannot be stand enough. You cannot teach your son how to deal with the pressure that only boys understand about why his muscles are not big, why he doesn't have enough hair on his testicles, why his penis isn't as big as the guy next door, why he's too short for his age. You'll never be able to understand that. No amount of pills, sex transformation, wishing you were a man, none of that is going to help you understand what it truly means. That nothing is going to truly make you understand the psychiatric or psychological pressures that a young man goes through in a world. You're never going to be able to explain to him why a white man looks at your son simply because he's walking while black and can't stand him enough to the point of wanting to eliminate his life on the spot. Never.
Excuse me.
You're never going to be able to tell him how the hell to grow up and deal with being a good man to a good woman.
That's true.
You can only teach him from the point of what it was like when you dealt with being hurt by a man from a woman's standpoint. That's all we can do. We can teach him what, from a woman's standpoint, we perceive a good man to be.
Hello?
Well, yes, go ahead, William.
Forgot the lady that's speaking on the phone name, but I was listening to what she
Darla.
Was saying. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
And how are you?
I'm blessed.
Me too, and I understand what you were saying about those drugs that take you places you ain't been. I've been there. And anytime you want to uplift, what had got me up out of there was I looked at an old picture on the wall and I said, where's that guy? And that's when I turned around because I knew he was something special, and that's when I went back and found him. But there is a couple things I wanted to say that maybe can help people out. And I'm ending up with a story, you know, pertaining to the women. I asked my grandfather one day when he was bedridden, he's like 95, and I asked him, I said, Granddad, you know, you were around during the time when Martin Luther King was marching and everything. I said, why you never participated in that? And he told me, which I think as a strong black man, he said, I stand on no man's back. And I was like, wow. So, you know, I kept that. I hope that helps someone. But my grandmother always went and participated in equal rights for women. Mm-hmm. She marched in Martin Luther King. She even got rights for people in South Carolina, black people that just wasn't getting it, and it was only subject to white people. She even walked up the fountains in 1976 that even had whites only and everything, you know. So she was like a matriarch. But my grandmother told me one day, she said that she was so disappointed because she looked at a few of her grandkids. She said, I'm so disappointed in my grandkids laying up and marrying these white people after all the things that I have fought for them, and they just giving it all back. And there was so much pain and hurt in her eyes because, you know, back in them days, you know, they went through a lot. Mm-hmm. But, and as in the black man, you know, being really supportive of their family, I kind of, you know, got my values from my father and my grandfather. I did grow up in a house with my father, and I hear a lot of people saying, oh, I ain't grew up. Not everybody grew up in a single home, but that doesn't mean it's a bad thing, you know. And my grandfather always, with anything my grandmother wanted or wanted to go over those marches, my grandfather worked and let her go ahead and do these kind of things. Even when it, well, not do, because they were together, they agreed on it. And even when she wanted to buy land that was her mother's land that was going to get taken by the country, my grandfather would give her the money and say, Corley, go get it. You know, there wasn't no problem, and that's where black men really need to step up and be supportive of these kind of things and quit pointing a finger at this and that, because we used to be a stronger black race. We didn't point the finger. We suck it up, and we would go do what we had to do for our family. But when we came home, there was comfort and nurturing and love from our kids right there, you know? Mm-hmm. And a lot of men, they just get selfish. What about me? What about me? It's not always about you, you know. It's not about, it's for others, you know. You can get some kind of, you know, you get the glory out of it. Well, the glory is God, but you get that good feeling of doing what you're supposed to do as a man. And can't nobody ever say that you didn't do the right thing.
And
I hear more and more, there are good women out here. And there's another thing that I heard her say. She said she liked bubble baths and fireplace. I do all those things still. So that is not lost out here.
Good for you. Like I said, when I speak on this show, and William, I know you're new, when I speak on these things, and I'm very heavy and passionate about certain things, I say this, and I'm going to say it to you because I guess you need to be initiated. If the shoes don't fit you, don't put your feet in them. Because obviously, if you're a good person that's out there that believes in uplifting his queen, that believes in providing for your family, then if I'm talking about deadbeat dads, I'm not speaking to you.
I know that. I'm trying to help these others.
No, not you, honey. I'm speaking to the rest of the listeners who want to sit there and don't know how to separate, you know, the people that it applies to from, you know, what it is. Tonight is about the women emasculating our men. I see you there, caller. Just give me a couple of seconds. We have lost our ancestors' pride. The pride that lasted through the physical circumstances. The pride that said, to hell with what you're telling me. I know who I am. That you can take my body, you can hang me, you can cut off my feet, but you can't take my life. You can't take my pride. You can't take my love for me. You can't take my memories.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to die having respected my wife and letting you know that my kids were something I feel honor for. My life, my wife, that marriage means something to me. That I believe in going out there and picking your cotton so that I can learn how to build land around you for my own.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where the hell we dropped the ball, where suddenly what defines us is how much we can afford, even if we can get it from the back of somebody's car at a discount.
Mm-hmm.
What we feel the white man wants. What Jay-Z just put his brand on, and we can be the first ones in line to go get. Meanwhile, Jay-Z is using the struggle, but it's not trying to help end the struggle.
That's right.
Okay, I don't understand, where do we get to that point? But ladies, that's what tonight is about. Ladies, every man needs his woman behind it. Behind every great, successful man is a wonderfully supportive and strong woman, and that is not going to change. And if you are not that strong supporting network factor, then our men, by all means, excuse the French, are to hell be damned. they might as well not do anything. They might as well walk up to George Zimmerman and say, blow me the hell away.
But can I just say something else, Katie? I thought I was going to be quiet, but this is... Yeah, and I'll be brief. You know where our men, you know, dropped the ball kind of sort of and was lost in confusion because once the society, you know, took away the jobs and this and this and that, they lost all hope. But see, if there was a man with some more integrity or some more teaching or more upbringing, they would have knew that money wasn't always it. That was the time. When they first started snatching the jobs and stuff from the men, if they would have invested more in their children, giving them that love and giving them that time and giving them that energy, you understand, and that upbringing, then yes, there wouldn't be as many lost children. But once they took their jobs, they felt like they couldn't be fathers no more. But just buying a child something is not being a father. The quality of life that you instill in him and the time and the energy and the investing that you put in him would help him allow him to grow up to be a man.
You know what, Darlene? I agree with you, but I want to touch a little bit of a counterpoint on that, and I'm going to tell you why. Before we had the rights or the let me say the buffet of options, so as much of a buffet as they would allow us to have, okay, of going out to get jobs that were now taken. Our ancestors went through that, and you know what the difference was between the men of today and the men of then? When their woman was behind them through those struggles saying, baby, I know it's hard now, but I love you anyway. You're still a grand person to me, and we will get through this.
Right.
When those women sat there and never let him feel like he was less than himself, he was the one who said, I know that I got my woman behind me, but I feel less than a man because I can't provide. But it was never her confirming that.
Right.
And guess what? When he got to the point of saying, I got to keep going because she's keeping going,
mm-hmm,
when he got to that point and he got his bearings about him and he found a job, he appreciated that support more than ever, and it kept his character strong and in place, and it kept him remembering to keep his eye on the end. So I believe a lot that even though, and like I said, this doesn't apply to all you little deadbeat losers out there. It doesn't apply to you, so don't pick
right
up the slabs and think that I'm covering your sorry butts, because I'm
right
not. The ones that,
right,
those of you that are picking up the choice and continue with the choice to breed seed and get whatever prey you could get and put it under your belt, you step off of this because this is not, you do not deserve to hold this valor.
Mm-hmm.
This is for those men that are overshadowed by your garbage.
Ooh.
I don't know.
Like you, William, like Professor Jones, like Al-Tariq Atkins, like Rodney Williams, like all of those people who say to hell with what the hell it looks like. My kids deserve to see me in place. I want to be one of those people who respect what my mother went through,
mm-hmm,
who honor what my father taught me.
Mm.
Got to bring in our panelists because I don't want anyone to lose their opportunity to have ample time to speak. So bear with me, panel, as I bring them in, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air.
Well, good morning, everyone. This is Professor Carl Tone Jones calling in from Philadelphia.
Well,
where
have you been, Ginger?
Hello.
Well, you know we definitely need your period on the sentence. So what's your take on tonight?
Well, first of all, you know, from what I've been listening to, and I've been listening to the show in its entirety, you know, the panel really has been on point in all phases and about the rift between the brothers and the sisters and where those rifts are. You know, I want to give a little historical context, and I want to talk about some solutions. So, you know, when we look at it, the current condition in our community is really based on morals and values and so forth. The morals and values of the black family is different today than it was 50 years ago. You know, there's definitely some changes, and a lot of it has to do with the structure of society itself You know, we talk about how the black men weren't present, but there was systemically things put in place, such as the social workers, the welfare system, and things of that nature that made sure that even if it wasn't the children's father, but that a man could not be present in the same home as any woman receiving benefits,
right,
you know, from the system. And we became dependent on that system to help us aid us in raising our children. And one of those things that happens is when you become dependent on a system, it influences and impacts the direction of the people who are dependent on it, because if they take or decide to take that system, or they decide to input changes and things of that nature, then if you don't abide by it, well, you've been dependent on the system for so long that it sets you back to get off of the system. So with the morals and the values that changed, let's look at let's fast forward to the future. Now, when you talk about jobs and things of that nature and the feminist movement, there were two sects of the feminist movement that we don't really talk about as different sects, but there was the feminist movement and then there were black feminists. The black feminists were never truly part of the feminist movement. Feminist movement was about disenfranchisement of white women because they were not allowed to earn the same wages as white men. They were not afforded the same type of executive positions as white men. So that was their cry for their movement. They enlisted the sisters to help them with their numbers. Now, when they enlisted the sisters didn't have that argument with black men because black men didn't disenfranchise black women. You know, the black men, just as back then, just as now, truly don't own a lot of businesses that will require for a differentiation in wages and things of that nature between black men and black women. So what would happen is the white supremacy sees this. What you would have is the black men would still be turned down for positions and jobs and things of that nature, while black women would be given middle management jobs. And what you did was you interrupted the entire structure of the household based on the economic supplies or the economic demands of wages and so forth. Now, once that occurred, you have the whole materialistic phase where relationships between black men and black women were no longer based on love. It was based on a business type of relationship. So there was every relationship now is a business decision. When you hear people talk about relationships even today, it's about, well, first of all, I need to know what his FICO score is. I need to know what his credit rating is. I need to know whether he owns a business, whether he has livable wages, and vice versa. Whereas before it was, well, do you like me? I like you. Okay. And that grew to, I love you. You love me. Let's have a relationship. Let's get married. Let's have some children. Let's build. You know, that's no longer part of the equation. It's about trying to emulate our oppressors and trying to emulate them. We don't have the means to emulate them because in this society, you know, black people, we are not meant to fit in to this whole corporate system. And that is one of the biggest pulls in terms of the relationships. Now, how can we change that? How can we fix that? We have to start replacing our fear of white supremacy and our hate of each other with courage to stand up to white supremacy. And what I mean by courage to stand up, I mean courage to step away out of the power structure to start controlling our own economic.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
I agree.
Is he still there?
I don't know. Professor? Yeah, he's there. No, he's not. Okay, I'm sure he's not. All right, he's back. Hold on.
Uh-huh.
Hi, Professor.
Yeah,
all right, hang on.
Well, maybe I said too much. He cut me off.
Yeah, FBI. Professor, hang on a minute, because there's somebody that's in also. I want to give them a shot, okay?
Okay.
All right, welcome to the show, Corey. You're on the air.
Hi, Katie.
Hi, Arlene. How are you?
I'm okay. I was a little encapsulated, but I'm back. And, you know, the gentleman that was just speaking, I agree to a certain extent. I don't believe that we were we're supposed to try to fit into corporate. I think we're supposed to try to fit in where we're supposed to fit in. And that struggling, loving, loyalty, trust. I haven't always had a man in my life who had a job, steady, doing well all the time. You know what I mean? It depends on what kind of woman you come across. Because if you come across a real woman with some real substance, then money is not the issue, because I would rather struggle with my man and we build together than to do it totally by myself, or to be with somebody who got a lot of money and they banging everybody and anything that moves. It depends on the woman. And a lot of women have become, quote, unquote, modernized today, but that's that brainwash. We could talk all that crap we want, but let a man that has something that we want, that we desire, that we crave, step across our path, and you'll hear them saying a whole nother story. You understand? I think women have just gotten accustomed to saying that because it makes them feel better about being by themselves. You understand? So for me, it makes me feel better. I don't need no bum behind, man. You know what I'm saying? But if I had a choice, I would love to have a man to come home to, or come home to me and cook his dinner and run his bath and just do what a couple does. But realistically, I'm by myself, so I got to do what works for me for the moment to get through the day. And if saying, you know, I'd rather be by myself make me feel better, then that's what the hell I'm going to say. Whether I mean it or not is a whole nother story. So I think a lot of us just say things because we don't have who we want, and we're not really seeing a whole lot of what we want. And I think that's just a way to make us feel like we still part of, you know, life. Just life. I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, everybody requires something different emotionally. We women, we deal in emotions. You're lying if you say you're not. That's our composition, period. And then women going through menopause is even worse. So, but on a real talk, I sometimes just say that because I'm sad, because I don't have no man that appreciate who I am. And that's what gets me through my day. That loneliness is no fun. But I'd rather be lonely than to be looking at some guy that I'm like, sucking my teeth, my eyes is rolling back in my head, and not from pleasure. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, forgive us. That's all I could say. Forgive us, because sometimes we do talk out of the side of our neck, you know? But again, like I said, let the right man come. I'll be singing a whole different song, boo-boo.
Well, I will say this. In the pre-podcast discussion, actually, there was a poster that had gone around about the sagging trend. When I did the segment on the sagging trend, that particular pre-broadcast discussion, there was a reply that came back.
and it said, men wouldn't do it if women didn't accept it. Now, there's, for me, a double-edged sword on that reply, because I don't care if women accepted it. At the end of the day, you have to wear that, and you have to make a choice. And enough of blaming women for all the bad choices you make. Because you know what? Very few men that made a good choice based on a woman's acceptance or agreement or pushing gives them the credit when it goes good.
Mm-hmm.
But in all essence and fairness, women, it goes back to this. The other side of that is, how much better would our men be? How much better equipped or more willing to suffer through and try to find a solution to what society and white America keeps throwing at us? How much more of an outrage or pride for themselves would they have for all the unarmed shooting and all of the crimes against our children would they have if they didn't have us in the corner stating that we are now an independent asexual race that don't need them for anything except the occasional real sex connection?
Mm.
How much better would they be? Where would our society be in terms of trying to seek out a solution the way our ancestors did, the way our fathers did? At least many of our fathers in that era. What happened to the pride we once had that no matter how much of materialistic things we couldn't afford, the most that we could do was value that we were together alive at our house, at each other?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That unified strength at the dinner table, the one where our fathers and mothers demanded that we put away our toys or whatever at the dinner table, that we spoke at the dinner table, that we sat at a table together, that we needed to be in when the streetlights came on.
Mm-hmm.
That if Mr. Jones next door, who probably was half blind, but swore he saw you on the corner, told your mother this, you'd get a swift kick in the butt from him and your mother.
That's right. It's just there's no values. There's no values, Katie. And, you know, it's just sad because, you know, I like I said, I'm really old-fashioned. This is Darlene. And from the time I was like 18, 19 years old, the thing for me was when I had my children that I already wrote this out for myself. Okay, so if I don't become this big old millionaire, what I was going to do was when I became 18, I started going to the thrift marts and I started buying these little antique pieces because I knew I was going to have some children. And money is going to be money, but, you know, pieces, you know, they
value.
They age, and the value goes up. Like if I die, and I leave my children $5,000, right? That's only $5,000. But if I die and I leave my children pieces and you know what you call antiques and stuff like that of value, where they can go online or they can go to a collector and tell them, listen, I know the history on this scam is. My mom told me about it. She had it for 75 years, and I know the value is worth blah, blah, blah. To me, that would be more valuable than to leave them $5,000 where they can just take it and just $5,000 is nothing. You know, so from the time I was 18, and I today at 56, I have these same pieces that I bought when my children were younger, and I'm sitting here with all these little antiques. Let me go back. I have the original Atari, the Telestar, the first game system that was put for a TV system. I held on to that for all my life, through my ups, my downs, my this, my that. I held on to certain pieces for my children. Do you know that now at this age when my children are grown, like they're not even interested in it? I have old coins. I have all this. I have all that. That, like I said, I knew, if I ran into anything, that could be their backup. You never know. They could use it for their children's college, even if they're grown. But to leave something behind, not just to die in vain, but I would love to know that my children's children have something to, and have a little history to go with it, because our history is gone.
you know, as far as our grandparents and stuff is concerned, they did the 012 on my whole family. So I needed to start somewhere with my family, with that my children can tell their children and their children to tell their children and their children to tell their children. Like, come on, seriously, like, where do our history begin on a personal level? We know what they did as a whole, but as an individual. Because you still need that individuality to feel complete.
Absolutely. Darlene, before, and panelists, I see you there. I'm going to bring you in just a minute. Here's the situation. You said something in the beginning of the show that definitely I need to look back on. You said it starts and ends with us. All right?
Yes, okay.
I brought up the fact that there was a panelist, I mean, a first responder to the pre-broadcast question that said men wouldn't do it if women didn't accept it. And I just gave you the two sides. But do understand that that's the same thing behind every successful man, there's a strong, great woman. There's a reason for that. We are the ones that sit back there and are the strength of America. When we speak about, when we were speaking on the Lavinia Johnson petition, when LaQuaine Jewell was there, things he said is the strongest group in the world is the mothers of America. Okay, why is that? The mother is life. She carries life. She produces. She brings there. Okay? We are women that will stand by our men, stand by us. We will find a rock soup gourmet meal from a stone, a pot of water, and some flame. All right? So if we are the ones, and we are one of the biggest support factors, one of the major parts of a man's essence, the other half, and we are the black woman telling a black man through all the bullshit, excuse the French panelists and listeners, through all the crap that's being thrown at us, through all the crap that we were born into and had to go through and establish ourselves, it's the other half. The biggest goal that every person in the world grows up for and dreams for, the one that the Bible says you're supposed to drop your mother and father and cling on to, the other half. If we are busy telling them exactly what the world is telling them, where do they draw the line? What do they have to live for? What is the purpose of telling them to man up if they have nothing to man up for? If we're wearing the pants for them, if we're telling them that they look like pansies in their pants anyway, where does it happen? I'm going to bring this new panelist in so that they can say something. There's about 15 minutes left in the segment. Then I'm going to pose a question that I'm going to go down the line right now, and I'm going to ask everybody their opinion on it. So bear with me, panelists, while I bring this latest petition in. Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing? This is Q. I think I can help the discussion.
Thank you, sweetheart. I'm sorry I didn't hear what your name was.
This is Q. Q. Classy. Q.
Oh, hi, Classy. Welcome back. I think you've been gone for a while. How are you?
I'm doing well. I've been trying to take care of business. But I think I can wrap it up in 2 minutes to get you guys to understand a different way of thinking on the topic, if I may.
Okay.
All right. Very quickly, look at the history of the events that we all know to be true, so that way it's not so much of an opinion. Back in the days, you had lots of guys prior to the whole calling women out of their name syndrome. Men were calling them queens, and you had several hundred songs specifically talking about ebony eyes, your kinky hair, your beautiful dark skin, risking their careers to make it known that they adored black ladies. And out of the, and I've researched this, out of the 283 male black artists who have done this, there are only 6 black women who have done this in the entire history of music. So that's the first thing to understand. The second thing is during the time, again, when men were calling women queens, women had this one word that was flying around, dog. This was long before men got on record or TV and started calling women derogatory names. I say these things to let you know the history of ladies like yourselves who did not check those ladies and say, that's not right, stop it now. There was only a few ladies who did that. So this whole thought process of I can do what I want, I don't care who has helped me, I feel entitled, has come about. Oprah had a show in 1981 called Black Men Working. You cannot order that show anymore because it's the only show she's kind of embarrassed about, where several people demeaned black males, calling them dogs, worthless. But she did a whole week on that show, and it's called Black Men Working. BMW is what they catchphrased it at that time. So when 1986 came and Too Short made the song B, a lot of young, angry males gravitated to it because here was their experience. They were being told they were worthless, kind of the point you guys were making a little while ago. They were being told that they were dogs. So when somebody rationalized, well, they call us dogs, which is what Too Short said, why don't we call them bees? Why not? I say all that to say this, and this is how I wrap it up. Unfortunately, males like myself, other people who are decent dudes, who do try to do the right thing by ladies and what have you, we are so few, far and few in between that when we see other men try to risk those careers, risk those thought processes, they are coming back crying. Why did she do me like that? Why this? Black Enterprise Magazine had a beautiful thing where they put out that 83% of all black males making over $100,000, according to their study, are married to black women. But our media puts out that black men are not doing that, that we're all chasing white girls. At some point in time, the solution has to be where ladies like yourself are going to have to start going to these black women who own these reality ratchet shows and say, no, you need to do better. Or go to these people who make these negative comments and say, if we can ask the men to do better, then ladies, you need to do better and hold them accountable. Until then, the boys are going to keep being feminized. They're going to raise feminized boys. And if you look at the generation of teenage boys right now, what do your daughters have to marry except for white men?
Very, very good input. Very good input, Classy.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to ask the panel a question. I think you kind of answered my question in your nutshell. But I'll ask this. It may seem like an obvious question, but I want to hear from you anyway. Starting with you, Al-Tariq, you still with me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes,
do you believe that if the black women stood up and did what we once did, stayed behind them, okay, like I brought up earlier, black men in the earlier days had our mothers standing behind them going, I know you're in a bad, rough spot now, but I've got your back. You're not any less of a man because you're out of a job right now, but you'll get through this. If that is the attitude that we took today, do you think that on the whole we would have a better shot, or our men would have a better uplifted in themselves to try to go to the struggle and fight like they used to? I'm going to ask you that first, and I'm going to go down the panel.
Okay, I'll say it like this. Yes, I believe that will be a part of what makes it better, but I have to say that I agree with what Professor Carl Tone had said. It's all about our economic situation too on the whole. So if there are jobs out here in this rough times where we're dependent on others to take care of us and we're not economically sound, you have to go to those who don't really care about us to support us, and that's like going to an enemy telling them to support you when they don't want you in a position to be able to help yourself. Money and issues like that also need to be said is what caused a lot of our couples to break up, because of finances as well, on top of everything else that y'all mentioned. So if the money's not there, you can't support your family. So economics is key, and we have to take care of all the facets that's talked about on here and some that's not. And I was going to bring up the point that the last brother spoke on,
I'm going to need to ask you to wrap it up a little bit, only because I've got to go down the panel. There's 9 minutes left, and I want to address something you just said. So go ahead.
Okay, yeah, and because of these different shows, you got the NBA wives and all this, and they're acting so unclassy. They're not showing how
real black woman is supposed to be. They're on there fighting and giving each other black eyes, and now this Mimi girl, they saying she's got a sex tape, and I mean, they're just doing everything to us to set us up even, and we're helping the enemy to set us up. With even with these shows, there's no more Bill Cosby's and different shows like that that was positive with the family image. Now it's Basketball Wives, Love and Hip Hop, and these other things that they have going on. And it's making us out to look like we're savage, and later on it'll be, well, how they're already setting up things, and I'm going to close out with this, that they're going to start treating us more savagely to give them more of an excuse to, because they say, look at how they act. Look at how they treat each other. And then that
right.
allows them to do us even more wrong.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I'm going to ask you this. With everything that you just said, right now our men are at the point of being in this it is what it is syndrome. Do you feel that if we stepped up and took away the emasculation protocol that we seem to be involved in, would they be more willing to say, as much as it seems hopeless, I'm going to go look to see what I can find? Do you think that that will change?
Yes, it will have to, because if you stay stuck, if you stay in one place and you don't take a step forward, then you stay the same. So, it will change.
Okay. I'm going to go down the line because now we're down to 6 minutes. Go ahead, William. What's your take on that question?
I'll keep it simple. Yes, it would change because I do love black women, and if they support you, you pretty much got everything and you could do anything. You know, that's all I'm going to say so that you can go on the line. But my answer to it is, yes, we do need your support.
Thank you very much. Darlene, you're up, honey.
Well, most definitely we need each other. The bottom line, but I do need to say this. I just need to touch on this. One second. Back in the day when our parents were growing up, our fathers strayed away and they made children outside of the marriage, and our mothers accepted that. Today the women not accepting that.
Oh, yes, they are.
Not me. I'm not accepting that. If I can't have a man to love me for me, and if I'm not enough for a man, then I just keep it moving. I stay single. But I love our black men, and if I ever come across a man that's of my standard, of my caliber, then it's on and popping.
All right, I hear you.
And we will make a change.
Arlene?
I think a lot of that, I think it would change a lot because we all need support, whether we male or female. But I also am clear that, you know, the man has to have something to start with. We can't give them everything. We could give them the love. We could give them that support. But we are not men, so there are certain things that we will not be able to provide for them. So there are certain things that they're going to need with that. You understand? Yes, we can help them. We can motivate them. We take care of them, feed them right, and bathe them right, and, you know, fill their ear up and tell them how much we love them and all of that. But if they don't have that man stuff that they need to begin with, it's not going to be as helpful. You know what I'm saying? They have to have some values and integrity and things of that nature, which is taught to them by
men that do.
Yeah,
I'm actually speaking about those men that do, because like I said, those that choose to waste their time, their opportunity, and the regality that black men were born with, okay, to continue to be fodder for the white America's projected garbage, this doesn't apply to them. They don't even qualify for this. So I'm going to say that, and I think the key word that sums it up in a better way for me is that will they be motivated to even try? And I'm going to go over to you, Professor, and get your answer. 4 minutes on the panel, so.
Okay, I'll keep it short. Yes, I think it will make a difference. And the ways that it can make a difference is we talk about accepting the reality for what it is, to accept that currently today that most black men are still disenfranchised, that it is a pride thing for a black man to say, or for the relationship, let's just talk about dating, for instance. If you want to take a sister out on a date, well, I can't afford Ruth Chris, but we can go to this little restaurant that I know. Or you can't afford Ruth Chris, now that's an issue. So we have to look at things that, you know, match up. Now, in terms of dealing with what's real and whatnot, we have to recognize that psychologically that we have to unlearn a lot of the things that we've learned over the last 20 to 30 years in terms of the relationship between black men and black women. When we get back to seeing our sisters as queens, the sisters get back to seeing the brothers as kings, you know. And we need to start to focus on working together and not seeing relationship as business mergers.
Oh, thank you. And Classy, you're up.
All right. Very quick, and I don't mean to sound down. No, it's not going to work. I've seen this movie before when I lived in France. Black ladies put down the black males. They thought the white males was better. The Persians came in, got all the black men. Now everything's beige. Went over to England. I stayed in Surrey, England. Same thing. Black women put down the black males. They thought the white men were better. Persians came in, start identifying these dudes, start picking off the good ones. All the women was left with was crap. Now I'm back here in America, same scenario. When the Pakistanis and Persians start picking out these good dudes, when the Japanese girls, who now they're Obama's president, Japanese fathers love black men all of a sudden, didn't like it when I was out there, they're going to start picking these quality dudes out. The only thing that's going to be left is begging white guys. It happened in France. It happened in England. It's going to happen here. Black community's dead. It's going to be beige.
What I asked was whether or not if we as a black woman right now would change our attitude and start uplifting the men in our communities, would they have a better sense of motivation to fight through the struggle and not just give in anymore?
I would love to see it. I would love to see it happen. I would love to see. I would love nothing more to see blackness happen. But I just think good black dudes are too scared.
Okay. Well, I'm down to 1 minute, and I do have to say goodnight. So I want to thank all of you. Thank you for returning, Classy. William, welcome to the show. Hopefully, you're a regular girl. I'm glad to hear from you.
Thank
Professor,
you.
Professor, definitely you out to reach. You've been hanging with me strong, dude. Thank you very much. Didn't hear from Salo today, but I think he might be listening. So I want to thank all of you for the constant support. We have made 23,584 listeners. Our live listenership, our archives are going up also. So thank you all. So until Friday night of part two with this, where the men are going to be on the hot seat, I want you to be blessed, be his blessing, go out there, make a difference. I'm not giving up hope. I believe we're still legal and strong. So until then, everybody, God bless and good night.
Good night, panel. Good night, Katie.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.